So how does it feel after all of these years to, like, get the refreshments all back together? I mean, you guys were kind of never broken up in a way. There was always, like, remnants of the refreshments and the Peacemakers, but now the band is completely back together. So, I mean, how do you feel about that?
At first, we feel really good about it. When we broke up, it was not the cleanest thing. There was no closure, personally. I think from the beginning of this, it just kind of was... it was a bad breakup, you know, and it lasted for over 10 years. And it wasn't until we landed in Bryan somewhere, and I think it was Michigan, on tour, and you just kind of knocked on the bus door that was basically trying to bury the hatchet. And we got them on stage that night, and we left a couple songs that felt good. We could stand together as equals and as friends again. And that was really cool. And I think the idea sort of stemmed from the Peacemakers have been doing sets in Las Vegas with what did they call it? I don't know, special, but albums in their entirety. We did Cindy Fuddy, and then we did The Bottle of Fresh Horses. And I think it might have been PH suggested, hey, what if we just called Buddy and Brian and see if they wanted to do a set somewhere sometime. You know, kind of end on a high note instead of that low note that we finished on May 5th in 1998. We ended up making the call to Brian and Buddy, and Brian jumped on really quick, and Buddy said, let me check my calendar, and he said, I've got stuff to do with my writing career, but I told him if you give me a blessing. So the next step was to find a next one, and Nick was going to be his buddy. And then we had to choose a venue, and it's like it was somewhere where it wouldn't make sense. We knew that Circus Mexicus would be largely the RCPN faithful, and they know about our career and were probably part of the Refreshments era. So we chose Circus Mexicus, and off we go. That's what we're going to do, set together as fun as the Refreshments and stuff. Anyway.
Do you guys ever think about maybe recording something again together, or is the Peacemakers where it's at right now for you?
I don't have any intention of really going further with that. My hope is that everybody will walk away and it'll be a great time, but that kind of moves forward from that platform. The Refreshments were a time and place and a very unique and specific lineup. And, you know, I don't think in terms of going back to the Refreshments and creating fun that chemistry right now. I'm very happy with what we're doing with the Peacemakers.
Okay, have you ever thought about, you know, where your career might be or what a different type of musician you might be if you weren't, you know, born in Arizona? Do you think, like, how you'd be if you were, like, a New Yorker or, you know, a Floridian or a Bay Area guy? Because it's like your music is so deeply rooted in that area.
Yeah, I actually never had that bad thought. It's always been so elemental that I am an Arizona born son. I never thought about what it would be like to write from any other geography. I mean, I'm really lucky to have been born in Arizona. There's so much myth, metaphor, amazing characters. There's wild, there's the clash of wilderness and civilization. There's so much fodder, literally and figuratively. It's a very deep mind to explore.
Okay, what do you think's next on the docket for the Peacemakers? What are you guys working on right now?
Well, right now we're working on new music, song by song, piece by piece, as we can between tours. We're all writing and all collaborating, and we just now received a summons from our manager to get our shit together and pick a producer and start recording the audio. So we're going to put our tunes together and figure out when and where we're going to start recording, but it'll be late this year. In the meantime, we've been sharing those new songs on sort of the little pet project called Camp Fantast, where we've been guessing on that and playing songs, the new songs live along with some of our other stuff and mixing up drinks and taking requests and giving birthday shout-outs. It's really fun. We try to do those ones as well.
As an independent performer, you know, a guy that, you know, stays away from, you know, major labels and whatnot, how important do you think a social media presence is to an independent artist?
No, it's everything. It's very important. Without a social media, it would be really difficult to get, it would be really difficult to get our name and keep our name out there. It's sort of the reverse of what you said before. I'm not sure I stay away from major label. I think at this point they're staying away from me. But yeah, it's true. But the social media is indispensable, and without it, it's just without it and the internet, it's just I don't know how anything could survive.
Okay, I mean, before the advent of social media, you guys found really interesting ways of getting your name out there, from, you know, recording the official team song of the Arizona Diamondbacks to, of course, the King of the Hill theme song. Do you even remember, like, I mean, it was a long time ago, how you guys just came up with that jam and tune?
I totally remember. It's kind of a long story, but we were on a couple days off on tour in Chicago. We were staying at Peach's family's house. It's kind of like a little barn and a jam area in the back of the house. And he and I were just sitting there messing around, and I came up. I had that riff sort of floating around, and I played it for him and put that gallop beat to it. And we just showed the band like the next sound check, and it just came from there. Actually, it's a longer story. Mercury Records would receive sort of a casting call from Fox TV asking for any bands who would submit for that show. So a manager at the time really encouraged us to submit a theme, but they wanted lyrics, but since I didn't know the characters, I didn't feel comfortable with it. But we recorded that as a soundtrack, and that sort of coaxed the crowd to cheer after we finished the song. It was near the end of the set, and we said to the crowd, "Hey, we're going to submit this next tune to a Mike Judge, you know, Beavis and Butthead creators' new show. It's going to be on Fox. So after we're done with this, do it all like it's a Christmas in the hood." And the crowd did, and we sang the tape. And then I got a call a few weeks later from Greg Daniels, Joe Boucher, Mike Judge, and they were really they kind of ripped me. Well, they really berated me at first in a joking way for coaxing the crowd. Hey, we forgot to cut the leader off, as the short story is. You know, we sent the whole cassette in, including the coach in the crowd. I said, "This is Hollywood, man. You can't do that. You can't pull a wool over our ass." And that was a rough time. So they broke the jokes, and they played them. And they landed for us.
Considering all you've done, like, what else is on your, you know, your goal list? What is it that you really want to accomplish?
Well, that's a good question. I've revisited that idea more often. So I'd probably give a standard musician, you know, answer that, you know, I love what I do and I want to keep being an artist and I keep having a voice in the national and world community. That's really the goal.
So as far as the stuff that you guys are working on now, how do you think it's different from the stuff that you guys have done before? Like, what have you learned as a musician that you're going to apply to this new album that you're, you know, beginning to work on?
Well, the more I work, the more I find that I'm trying to work on less is more. I'm trying to work on my lyrics and my music such that I don't need to write paragraphs. I'm working on sentences now. And that may be self-indulgent, but that's the direction I want to go.